We'll open with the first stanza of hymn 155. Keep your hymnals open after that. We'll come back to the other stanzas. Zechariah has been called the prophet of Holy Week, with 11 such prophecies of Christ's cross. At the time, God's people were failing to live for the Lord, but he didn't abandon them. He called them back, even as he calls us back by pointing us to the cross of Christ. Bend your hearts at the foot of the cross. How many events from Holy Week do you recognize in the following readings? Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of the covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare, I will restore double to you. Yes, this is the king who on Palm Sunday rode on in humility to die for you and me. Did you hear also in those words of Palm Sunday how he would go on to humble himself even to the cross for our sins to give you the victory? Or how about Maundy Thursday? Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. What did it say? Giving the blood of the covenant? Yes, for us. And so, bend your hearts. For here Jesus keeps on giving us double forgiveness for all your sins, righteousness for your eternal life. Stanza 2. Zechariah 11. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Yes, one of his own disciples sold him for the price of a dead slave. And yet through these prophecies, patriarch and prophet strained forward to see Calvary and all it would bring. And now, the eyes of all generations, of all races, are beckoned to look back on that cross To focus our eye on the one who was lifted up there to bear the weight of the mass of the seething guilt of the sin of the world. Thus, yes, already in Zechariah's day, they joined us at the foot of the cross, looking up to Jesus, squirming like a worm on that cross, gasping for every breath, jerking as the spear pierced him, bringing forth blood and water. Shall we not bend our hearts, mourning, beating our breasts with grief over our sin which pierced him? Stanza 3. Zechariah 13, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. The that day in our text is this day on which Jesus bore the mass of our seething sin to the cross. He strained every fiber of his being to reach that goal, his blood pouring from his pierced side to cleanse you and me from all our sin. And then, did you notice? It comes in our text kind of like a lightning strike in the darkness. The Lord exposes how even at this height of history unfolded, his own friends would betray, deny, and abandon him. Yet even more scandalous, the Father himself raises his own sword against his own companion. Behold the price required to atone for sin. The Lord condemned his own Holy One. And yet those disciples, his friends, scattered, thinking, feeling that, how could God allow this? Everything is lost. And how often do we feel the same? So bend your hearts. Bend your hearts at the cross, because it's here that eternities meet. From eternity, the Father planned this cross for you. And from that cross, Jesus lifts our eyes to look to the dawn of eternity. His eternal life, his crown of life for you. Stanza 4.
That near the cross abiding, we not with him our hearts dividing, all for him content to leave.
Zechariah 14. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. These words have nothing to do with some physical tectonic event, but refer to the spiritual battle for the New Jerusalem the church of God. Jesus stood on that Mount of Olives on Palm Sunday to do what? To bear the seismic weight of the guilt of the world. And he won that battle so effectively that the earth quaked, the rocks split, and the graves gave up their dead. Jesus opened the humanly impassable mountain of death so that we could pass through. He opened the valley so that believers can come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in that new Jerusalem, the kingdom of heaven. The cross of Calvary is the place where God and man meet. The place where God in Christ reconciled the world to himself. For he made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes. Bend your heart at the foot of the cross. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Stanza 5.